Hi, and welcome to Scattered Cells Anime Podcast number 2. As always, I'm your host, Michael Huang, and here with me, calling in from Taiwan, is my co-host, Raymond Hu.
Hi.
And, as always, every week we bring you a little news commentary, a little review, and lots of blather about anime. And why don't we go ahead and get right to it? And let's go ahead and start talking a little bit about the news. There's been a little bit of big news this week, actually, at least on the North American anime scene. And And so why don't we go ahead and get started? This week, the anime blog world was set all a Twitter when a rather interesting website appeared on the web with very little explanation and very little fanfare. ASOSBrigade.com. It appeared to be some sort of impending announcement that The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which is probably the biggest, one of the biggest anime sensations of this year, was about to be licensed. And it turns out that, yes, indeed, it was officially licensed. And the setup is actually also rather interesting. It's being distributed by Bandai, but it's actually being licensed by Kadokawa Pictures USA. And as far as I know, this is actually the very first thing they've ever licensed for release in the United States.
Well, maybe because they're recently formed.
Yeah, it seems so. And it seems to be that seems to be actually the growing trend that is happening, is that the Japanese companies themselves are just doing the licensing themselves now and forming their own American branches, as opposed to relying on American-based companies like ADV or the like.
Stop paying so much licensing fee, and anyways, taking territories in the States. Just kidding.
And it's really interesting that the way they actually went about this announcement. They pretty much announced it in this home video type of promo video that you can see on the ASOSBrigade.com website, in which they took what I think, and I'm not entirely sure about this, I think these are actually Bandai USA employees who have you know, banded together to actually create something which was very much akin in flavor to episode 1 of The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. It's been confirmed these are not the dub actresses. These are not the people that are going to be doing the actual official English dub. And there appears to be some sort of promise that there will be more promo videos in this along the same lines. So they're probably the same like, actors and actresses. I remember I talked to you about this the other day, and you had some strong opinions about it. So what did you think?
You know what I think? These people, they're not even going to be the voiceover or what dubbers for this stuff. Fine, okay, if you get the American person, fine. She speaks English, fine. But these two Japanese ladies, they're not even going to be on the freaking show. Okay, if you look at the episode 1, at least these people were on the freaking show, for crying out loud. Look, the person who played Mikuru, her name is Goto Yuko, actually. It isn't whoever that person that they had on. Of course, Goto Yuko is a real, well, she doesn't have much of on the looks. To me, that's a classic voice actresses like, you know, Mitsuishi Kotono or the like. Okay, just nobody else comes to mind, but at least the classic voice actresses that, they don't have any looks, but yes, they have talent. As opposed to the trend these days, a lot of voice actors sounds exactly the same, and they don't necessarily have much of a talent, but look, they're moi. They're hot. Well, no, not hot, but they look moi. So it's like, oh, really? And for the other person, that's not the right person either. Just for anyone's information, those people aren't. Why? If you're going to do an American dub release, which you are, then get two other Americans. I don't see the point of getting two Japanese people. And they're not even going to be they're not even the voice actresses, period. I don't see the point. It's like, it's a poor copy. It's a poor imitation of trying to sound like fanfare or the like. But to me, end up looking like an American evil.
I do.
An American. And I am American.
Well, I do think that I actually wrote a little post on the blog about this, about how I find it kind of strange the way a lot of companies are really try really hard to emulate the spontaneity and kind of just the, you know, the spontaneity and lack of pretense that you get with real word of mouth real word of mouth, like spreading the word about something. And the thing is that something, you know, the moment, like for me, when I saw the promo video, you know, I'm not as well up to voice actors and actresses as you are, and I did sense there was something strange even then. Like, I knew those weren't the voice actresses who actually played them in the anime. I knew that.
It was atrocious. It was atrocious. It was
clearly
I was
really
looking
different.
At them, I was going, exactly.
And I mean, I wrote in the blog, I mean, kind of a spell is broken the moment you see the actual words, copyright 2006 Bandai. Like, you know, after that point that, you know, the game's up, you know, and that, you know, that it ceases to become, you know, it ceases from being like just something cool and clever and viral and just simply becomes marketing. And
it definitely is pure marketing. Come on. I mean, it doesn't feel right. None of it felt right. The moment I saw that woman prancing on the screen, and I went, okay, nothing looked right. The magic was it was made in animation, and it looked so poorly made, even though it was so professionally made. That was the magic.
Yeah, that was.
As soon as if they want to imitate it, at least pretend use a pretend Hollywood style in the background, and yet have like someone who does it really poorly. You know the woman was you know that woman rehearsed like crazy over this.
Yeah, there's a it's sort of like how I'm trying to think of an example. There was recently on YouTube there was this girl who called herself Lonely Girl 19 or something like that, and it purported to be a video diary of this girl who lived like in a typical suburb, and like supposedly, you know, she was going through your typical teenage girl kind of problems, like, and sometimes her off and on boyfriend would show up in the background, and supposedly she's just like this ordinary girl, but then like some of the entries started, like little sinister hints started appearing here and there in the background, like stuff that may indicate that maybe or not her family, like maybe like were Satanists or something like that. Like it would just be like these tiny little hints, like little, you had to kind of sort of dig into it, and it seemed like almost kind of really offhand, and if something seemed kind of really strange about these videos. And it didn't help that this girl was really hot, her room was always really neat, and other things like that. And people started digging into where these videos were being posted from. They discovered that it was being posted from somewhere deep within Hollywood, California. And that apparently, well, basically, to make a long story short, they discovered that the girl who was playing Lonely Girl 19 was cast by a professional casting agency, and that this was actually kind of a series of promos for an upcoming movie or sort of like a video, or kind of like sort of like a video art demonstration of some sort. And eventually, basically, a bunch of intrepid internet people discovered the secret, and after that, the jig was up. You know, nobody watched the video anymore. And it completely lost its mystique. Like,
it's just so lame, especially, I don't know, especially if it's an American company. For some reason, these days, when I think of it, I think of evil imperial takeovers of any art or any spontaneous art.
Well, to be fair, at least with the Haruhi thing, this was, you know, this is handled by Kadokawa and Bandai. These are definitely the Japanese companies, or at least their American branches. And it looks like they're,
Yeah, power of the dark side. They went over to the power of the dark side.
I was not particularly impressed with the live-action actress for Haruhi either, so.
No, at least she rehearsed well.
Yeah, I mean,
she at least tried.
She's apparently the person who, She's actually, I don't remember. She says actually in the video what other.
She says she's a Pink Ranger for one of those Ranger shows.
Right. That's it. Yeah, she's apparently one of.
I'm the Pink Ranger for the Ranger show.
Yeah.
Somebody shoot me in the head. No, actually, somebody hand me a shotgun and shoot her in the head. Well, she's kind of cute. Let's skip the shotgun.
Well, in either case, the word is now out, and he has been licensed. And it looks like it will probably be getting a DVD release sometime early next year. And
buy the DVDs. They are worth it. The promotional videos are
Yeah, the promotional videos are probably a rather lame attempt to imitate viral marketing. But yes, the show is very much well worth it. It's probably the most original show of 2006 that I've seen. And I will be probably writing a little bit about that in a future blog post in my year-end review. So.
And for anybody who hasn't seen it, the first episode is making fun of something. Yeah. It isn't because Japanese don't know how to make anime anymore. That
it's
would be
really
creepy.
It's really interesting. Yeah, give it a chance after episode 1 and watch episode 2. I guarantee that. Well, if you don't like episode 2, then you're not likely to like the rest of the show, so that's probably a pretty good litmus test.
I'll give it 3 episodes at least. That's a minimum. If you don't want to count episode, if you want to count episode 1, then fine, but my recommendation is, if this is your first time to anything like this, discount the first episode, just laugh at it. You can Mystery Theater 3000 if you want. Actually,
well,
that might be a good idea.
That's even truer than you know, especially for episode 1. Pretty much. I mean,
yep.
Without saying too much more about it, because it really works best if you don't know too much about it and you go into it with fresh eyes. I certainly know that when I showed episode 1 to some, like my anime club and some other friends, you know, it was usually a pleasant surprise for most of them. At least for those who have a little bit of a sense of humor and know what's being mocked in that situation. But anyway.
Oh, and if you are from Hollywood, and you're not within the big guy, then you haven't fallen to the dark side. Yeah, give it a look. But anyways,
that does it for that particular piece of news. Haruhi licensed by Kadokawa and distributed by Bandai. In other news, apparently, the Japanese Motion Picture Academy has decided to add, finally, a category for animation. I'm surprised it's really taken this long, actually, considering that 40% of Japan's filmed output is animated. Something like 40%. And it looks like this year's nominations include Gedo no Senki, which is the Ghibli film, Brave Story.
Which will probably win it.
Yeah, Brave Story, which I have never heard of. Have you?
Oh, God, can't be that Brave Story, is it? They have a hentai game that's called Brave Story.
Really? I have no idea what it's about. Do you know what it's about? You said it's based on a hentai
game? Well, the hentai game goes like this. You're some typical hero who's going on a journey, and you rescue this girl, and of course, you try to show off, and you know, you fall on your face, but then you manage to fight off enemies with the girl. And guess what? You encounter a bunch of girls, and if your relationships develop well, when you say, oh, you know, let's retire for the night, well, you know what goes on behind the bedroom door.
I suppose we all do now. And
yes, but some of the weapons are very fun, like one of the swords, which I forgot, and with the speed shields or whatever, and some of the stuff, you can stab the guy like using a machine gun, like a machine gun sword. I don't mean like a machine gun and a sword, I mean you stab him like you basically stab him like a few thousand times per second. And yeah, it does very little damage every stab, but if you keep switching positions, he's dead meat. It's cheesy, but it's fun.
Huh, interesting. So I take it, sounds like you played the game.
I played the whole game, I beat the whole game, and well, I got, the art is excellent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one gets bored with, like, every time you retire, it's always the same thing. But the art is excellent.
I've actually heard that, like, some of these, even some of these H games have pretty decent plots as far as these sorts of games go. Like, I've heard good things about, what's it called, Snowdrop, or something like that. I remember reading about how that actually had a well above average story. or that sort of thing.
I played that. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's also pretty good.
I wouldn't be able to confirm that myself, but yeah, it sounds like the Japanese even put care into their semi-pornographic things.
Well, you know what? At least they try. Yeah, at least they try. Well, some of them anyway. But one thing about playing these sort of things is sometimes why you lose doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense why one actually loses. Oh well. I recommend Crescendo, by the way. If anybody actually finds Crescendo, that actually makes sense.
But some anyway. Of the other nominees include Arashi no Yoruni, which I have no idea what that is. Tokyo wo Kakuru Shoujo. I think, is that the girl who skipped through time or something like that? I remember there was some movie that came out this year which had character designs by Yoshiyuki Sadamoto. And apparently it used
to, Guy for Eva,
yeah,
right?
The guy who does all the Gainax character designs. And apparently this was not a Gainax production. It was apparently a bunch of Gainax exiles or somebody, like people who came from Gainax but like either broke off or weren't part of it anymore, and they decided to do their own independent project, and this is what happened. There are actually a lot of Gainax alumni in the anime world, like pretty much all of Gonzo Studio, or a bunch of people who were broke off from the Eva project.
Gonzo? Really?
Gonzo was basically formed by a bunch of ex-Gainax people. And they're pretty much like the biggest studio like around now, other than maybe Madhouse.
They make great stuff, and then sometimes they make really bad stuff too.
Yeah,
it really depends on the material.
Gonzo really likes their action shows, I noticed at least. And I think they really excel at action. Like, I would say a very typical show for them was something like Black Cat. I don't know if you've ever seen Black Cat.
No, sorry. I saw all the Lasser shows.
Yeah, Black Cat's really got really good, well-animated, fluid action. But, you know, in the story department, it honestly feels a little thin. Once in a while, they try to branch out, and they try to do something really ambitious.
What about Last Exile?
Like Last Exile.
Last Exile. Everybody knows Last Exile.
Like Last Exile.
Right?
Last Exile. Last Exile has some genuinely original, you know, turns. And it has a really promising story, though I did feel that it fizzled out a bit at the end. But it's got some really terrific animation, some really interesting designs, especially both mechanical and also like the background of the world. Really fascinating. Last Exile.
I think it ended with a great bang. So it was perfectly fine too for me. I mean,
I felt that it promised more than it delivered. And that it not only, you know, promised like lots of great action, but it really sounded like they were going to do some really interesting things with the world that they were in. And there is definitely some real...
Oh gosh, that would require like a few hundred episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
Think about it. They only make either 13 or 26 episodes. They're good at making 26 episodes, actually.
Yeah.
So
they have.
There you go.
Yeah. And more recently, they've also done Saikano, which I didn't like. And they also did Welcome to the NHK, which I really loved. I wrote a rather extensive review on the website. So
now, how did that slip through my grip?
It's a terrific piece of work, but it is pretty harrowing sometimes, especially later on. It's very, I see it in many ways as it does what Eva wanted to do in a much more straightforward and direct manner. And that's all I want to say about that for now, because this is not the major episode. So.
Yeah.
And
next piece?
And the final piece of nomination is actually a Detective Conan movie. It looks like it's actually the 10th Detective Conan movie. I don't know. Did you ever watch Detective Conan? It's like a kid's show.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. As it's pretty intelligent.
Oh, really?
It's very intelligent. Like Japanese children's shows can be very intelligent.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Cool.
Or a heart movie. Anybody who watches Doraemon should know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's not just all fantasy. It's quite touching sometimes. And Conan has some very decent plots. I find myself guessing what happens even when I was watching Japanese and I didn't understand much of it.
Oh wow, so that's really cool actually. I've never seen any Conan, and all I remember of Doraemon is just simply Doraemon's picture. That's because from my early childhood. That was, again, one of my earliest memories was that of Doraemon. So, no, that's really cool.
Of course.
Because I remember a lot of American TV shows, really, especially for kids, like, they really assume that you're really dumb.
They think you're dumb little brats, that needs to be spoiled, basically.
Yeah, I know. It's really kind of very disappointing. Especially, like, shows that you thought were awesome, like, when you were 8. Like, you watch them later on, and you realize, how the heck did I get through this?
Well, the point is, nobody over 8 will watch them.
Like, I think one of the few, like, exceptions to that was, did you ever watch the original Transformers movie?
You know why? You know why? Because they were drawn by Japanese. The originals were drawn by Japanese.
And it had Orson Welles, I think, playing Optimus Prime. Though I think he only had a few lines at the beginning or something like that. So.
I've never learned of that fact.
No, Orson Welles was one of the voices. That was one of his very last roles. Was in the Transformers movie. And you know they're actually remaking
it. Oh my god.
They're actually remaking it. You know, they're turning Michael Bay's turning it into a live action film.
Yeah, my friends are talking about it because they all watched Transformers when they were kids.
I was also a huge fan too when I was growing up. But oddly enough, I never actually saw the movie when I was a kid.
Well, for Asians, for Taiwanese anyway, that was Mac
Cross. Right. I wonder when exactly. I'm not very knowledgeable about this. Which one came first? Macross is pretty early.
Macross is 1983.
82 or 83, I think. Yeah. When did Transformers come out? Yeah. Or, was that in the mid 80s?
Late 70s. It wouldn't be late 70s because they were still in giant robot mode.
Okay.
It's probably around the same time. I'm pretty sure it's around the same time actually. Macross basically brought up all the revolution of transforming mechas, and then everything else came out.
Okay. Well,
do we have a next nominee?
That's it, actually. There's only 5 nominees, and the winner is going to be announced sometime in late February.
You mean Ghibli Studio show?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious compared to the competition that anything produced by Studio Ghibli is going to be of another level altogether. Though, Gedo Senki actually got relatively mixed reviews, since it wasn't by D. Miyazaki, but only another Miyazaki, or rather the son of the D. Miyazaki.
I thought you'd say devious.
Well,
George Lucas is devious.
Yeah, that's another level of deviousness and commercial exploitation altogether. But
oh well.
And we're back. And now it's time to go on to our weekly review section. And
woo-hoo!
This week we're going to be looking at one of the most interesting and inventive comedies that's come out in recent years, School Rumble.
Yes.
And, you know, to briefly summarize what the show is about, it's actually one of those shows that actually has, especially as it goes on later, a very large cast of characters, a lot of side characters. And, in fact, a lot of those side characters become more important than the, you know, supposed main characters.
More fun. Definitely more fun and better developed. Again, like one of these shows.
Quite frankly, I think I have to mostly agree with you. But at least for the main characters, you have basically this boy and a girl in a high school. The girl's name is Tenma. She's kind of this airheaded, lovesick, boy-crazy girl who is absolutely head over heels in love with this really strange
Karasuma-kun.
And yeah,
Karasuma-kun.
This guy named Karasuma, and he doesn't really have almost any charisma or any, well, I guess you could sort of call it charming about how
he will be one of those supreme loner main character guys in one of those really boring dumbed down shows,
like one of those harem animes, to be honest. Except he's a little bit weird. Like, he often shows up in strange costumes.
That's right. Something that Japanese would instantaneously recognize. Well, any anime fan should.
Like, and he also has a real taste for spicy food, especially curry. And that's pretty much the entire sum of his characters. He doesn't talk very much. He likes curry, and he dresses up in strange costumes. Oh yeah, and he's also incredibly talented at whatever he seems to do, like skiing.
Excels everything.
Yeah, playing rock.
Impossibly, right. He's like one of those main shoujo, like shoujo boys that girls drool over when they're like, oh, I don't know, 10 years old. And then when guys look at it, it's just like, this guy's boring as hell.
Exactly. And
I'm thinking Marmalade Boy.
I get the feeling that's actually part of the point, that when people fall in love, it's usually for reasons that are completely unexplained and unaccountable. Like, you can't really come up with a rational reason for it. It just is.
Of course, yeah. Chikamoto Tenma had a different reason. Not because of this guy's really weirdly charming, oddly charming, but she had a different reason. And with this, in the same event, Harima-kun, who's the boy, so to speak, began to love her.
He's the other main character, Harima. And he's actually a much better developed character than Tenma is, I think.
No, Harima Kenji is fun, and he grows in the show. I mean,
yeah, he really does. He's a very untypical male lead for both an anime romance, don't you think?
Well, if you're talking about a violent, almost gangbanger guy who like beats up when he's like feels like shit about something or whatever, all I can think is Midori no Hibi. The main character is also a gang guy.
That's true, actually.
Or shonen shows. I mean, if you think about Slam Dunk, it's a basketball show, and the main character Sakuraki something, he's like this. He used to be in a gang too. Well, he used to be a gang bearer type.
Right.
But now these people are in a gang. They're always loners.
Yeah, but here in the typical anime romance, it's the main lead guy is usually like really wimpy or really indecisive. And actually, wait a minute. He knows Harima, come to think of it. Well, actually, he knows who he wants. But it's just that he just doesn't have the wherewithal.
He can't confess. It's like he can't say nothing. It's like France. Yeah. He can't say nothing. He just doesn't know how to say anything. He can't say nothing. And every time he says something, since Tenma is so, it's so incredibly dumb in this category, he never realizes anything.
The entire show is built on layer after layer of misunderstanding. I noticed that they take this whole... I mean, it's a pretty typical, I think, trope, you know, you see in a lot of anime romance, like, you know, the inability to confess to somebody. But I think what School Rumble does is that they take it to ridiculous heights.
To the point, like, if nobody ever falls off... Or nobody ever really... Well, everybody falls off it. I was gonna say nobody ever falls off it since they keep building it up, but come on now.
But basically, those are the main things. Like, Tenma likes this guy who is incredibly oblivious and strange, and who doesn't notice her. And Harima likes Tenma, but she's incredibly dense, and she doesn't notice either. And he's incredibly he's both tough and also incredibly immature and naive and shy at the same time. And so those are supposedly the main characters, but later on an entire cast of side characters really steps into the limelight. They actually have some really interesting stories and really interesting interactions of their own, and I think that's actually where the show really begins to shine.
They're like the better second team.
Yeah.
They're the best bench players any team can have. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, I'm talking basketball. This is weird.
Hey, there's actually, do you remember all the basketball anime parody sections?
Oh yes. They had this really ridiculous like parody with an impossible group of people that looked like they came from 70s giant robot shows.
Yeah. That was really strange. It actually almost seemed to come out of nowhere. But they had an entire couple of basketball episodes, I think, too.
It was such a super mismatch. I mean, I had no idea why did they even put in the guy makes fun of everything, and even including like himself.
Yeah.
you know, like how he should never come out, like,
yeah.
Okay, I don't want to say too much about it, but that's, you know, whatever.
Well,
and of course, Initial D is a stuff.
Right. There's Initial D. There was a. That's another thing, that really interesting and unique thing about School Rumble, which is that it actually does genre parodies of almost every major anime genre you can think of.
And not just anime. They had a shooting survival.
Yeah, they episode. Had. Okay. I think it was actually supposed to be a parody of Battle Royale, the movie
yes.
about the. The movie where all the students kill each other. And
yes, that's right.
Yeah, there was Battle Royale. There was all this, like, 70s sports anime. There was Initial D. There was a Magical Girl one, I think. And there was a... Let me see. Did they do a dating sim one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
I mean, of course, the whole show almost centers around dating and romance at the beginning, so I guess that was...
Be strange,
I can't remember,
don't...
actually. I...
Like, good, no more spoilers. No more spoilers for the rest of us.
Well, no, this isn't... I don't think this is too much of a spoiler.
No, of course not. I'm just saying, like...
Plot points. It's just that it's...
No.
No.
The fun points... Yeah, you just have to watch it to laugh, anyway.
Yeah.
If I tell you straight... If I tell you straight, Lace, yeah, like, the main author says, oh, my show shouldn't be on.
Well,
you know?
Here's a really interesting tidbit about the manga author, Jin Kobayashi. I actually saw a picture of him. He actually looks like Haruma, and he dresses like him. And
yeah.
Supposedly, some at least he says about half of the character of Haruma was based on how he was in high school, and then the other half is just simply like all the people he knew growing up in school. He like rolled them together and turned them into characters in the show of one kind or another.
Well, thank God for people who don't get good grades in Japanese high school.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be looking at a bunch of Iba shows.
Because one thing is that one really interesting thing is that Haruma is a budding manga artist in the show. And that's, like, one of his most interesting points. Going back to actually to the side characters, which are probably the most interesting part of the show for me, is all the different... people like Tenma's sister.
You beat me to the punch. You beat me to the punch. I was going to talk about, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, talk about her. She's a really fascinating character. And she's actually probably the most popular character other than Eri, the blonde-haired girl.
Oh my God, Eri is hot. Like I swear, Eri is just one of those like Ojo-sama. It's like you're just like, dude, this is one person that you want to make her humble and nice. But then, like, in front of everybody, you want her to be the prime, like, she's not a bitch. She definitely isn't a bitch. She's in, like, you know, if you don't talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like, Cordelia was the bitch.
Right.
Bitch. Alpha prime bitch. And this person just isn't. She's just snobbish.
No, they actually did. It's interesting you bring up Cordelia. Cordelia really gets well-developed as a character in later seasons, doesn't she?
She loses some of her bitching points,
right.
Which made her fun, but it was more like natural progression.
Right. You start off that way, but then you realize that, you know, there's some real pain and real depth in it, and then she also grows up in the process. And I think Aries sort of goes through a very similar kind of...
Yeah, but she's like your... But she's closer to your typical, like, bitch... Like, a typical anime bitch who has, like, a painful something going on. It is comedy, so there isn't that much going on, but... painful part going on, but you know.
Well, she fits a character type that it's called the tsundere, the tsunderico.
Oh, right.
Kind of like the, you know, the kind of gruff on the outside, but really sweet on the inside. And there's like all this off and on kind of will they or won't they with her and Haruma going on in the show all the time.
And I was like, okay, they should get together. Screw Tenma, she can chase that piece of wood guy. She can chase a wood guy. I mean, you know, he's like a piece of wood, really. She can chase the robot thing, whatever. And the sister, oh my God. Like, that's played by Noto Mamiko, and she's great. Her voice, if you ever listen to her interviews, her normal voice is like that.
Really?
But it's a little less. Her normal voice is less cute, less sweet. But once in a while, she speaks something in her normal interview, and it spikes up to that level, and you kind of and the real otaku just kind of melt.
She's definitely very graceful. The character she plays is certainly very graceful, very appealing. Really hard to believe that she's actually supposedly the younger sister.
Yeah, and she's taller too. But you know, in my church, there's this sort of pairing where the older brother is even shorter than I am, and the younger brother is taller. Strange things do happen in nature. Just kidding. No.
And yeah, and her character also really gets developed, I guess, as the show progresses as well. And so she's actually usually the second most popular character after Eri. And there's
who's the person who plays Eri?
What's her name? Horie Yui, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Horie Yui. Yes.
Yeah. She also sings the first season theme song.
I love the first season theme song. It's much better. Guru guru maru,
guru guru maru. It's ridiculously catchy in the way the really good anime theme songs are. It really reminds me also of the theme song to Chobits, which the very first time I heard it, I couldn't get it out of my head.
Go ahead.
I didn't like the second season's theme songs nearly as much. I especially really like their first season's ending song, which is really silly and cute.
Did you see
the lyrics for them?
Yeah, I didn't bother with the ending song, so I don't know.
Well, the lyrics are basically kind of a classic 1950s, 1960s advice song. It's like, you're like, do you really want to know, like, you silly boy, how to get girls?
Yeah.
It's all about timing.
I mean, de show?
Yeah,
cool. But anyway, yeah, so like go and watch it if you like school comedies. If you don't like school comedies,
It really takes a little time to warm up. Like, I think I remember I watched the first 4 or 5 episodes and I didn't think it was really all that special. Because
it wasn't very impressed either, yeah.
Yeah, the first few episodes, it pretty much conforms to the typical kind of school comedy. It doesn't really do anything that different initially. It's really only later on when they start like adding more characters and when they start parodying more genres that it really starts getting more unique and more new. And I think it probably hits a high point right around the end of the first season and the beginning of the second season. I think that's really when the show is kind of at its peak.
You almost made me believe. Yeah. The end of first season almost made me believe in the plot.
I know.
Almost made me believe her.
There's some real interesting surprises in the end. And I found actually the last several minutes of the end of the first season to be pretty effective. It really mixes a lot of really good comedy and as well as some good emotional moments as well. That's actually there, and it actually works pretty well sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't think it compares overall to Azumanga Daioh.
Yeah, I mean, Azumanga Daioh is in a classic. It actually bears some structural similarities to it. Typically, it's structured as two or three short stories in every episode. Sort of like how Azumanga Daioh is 5 little segments in one episode.
I want to be like Osaka. I want to be like Osaka in real life and get away with it.
Oh, yes. She was also my favorite character, too, actually. These incredibly... If you really like the Osaka character, you might actually like Yatsuba in the new manga by the same guy who drew across as a manga. She says equally weird things.
If you can translate over here.
It's already available in English, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe I'll send it to you for your birthday. I'll send you volume 1 and 2. It's already out in English.
Oh, do whatever you want, man. It's all right. Speaking of gift, I actually got a gift from this sister from one of those like southern parts of Taiwan today.
Oh, that's
actually
awesome.
Yeah, for Christmas. Anyhow, I don't want to bring like real life stuff into my art anime discussion because the scary part is it can be very similar. I'm very decisive as to whether I should take this part time job on January 1st and appear on a program, which I might get some money.
Wow!
Or go hang out and watch a movie with this person.
Nice. Well, you're listening to this podcast, everyone. You are listening to somebody who is very soon going to be on Taiwanese television. Pay close attention.
Oh God, yeah. Like I'm going to be Taiwanese, inter-Taiwan famous, inter-Taiwan provinces famous. Oh wait, it doesn't even have a province. Inter-city famous movie star. As opposed to international, it's intercity. Oh, that's right. When I step out of Taipei, I don't think anybody even know what the frick I am. Oh
That can be both a blessing and a curse, I think.
well. Oh, I don't give a damn. Whatever. I'm this ugly dude who wears glasses and who's like 5'6", and who the heck is ever? Oh, that's right. This is about anime. So let's get on with it.
Well, and so basically that's School Rumble. It's a school comedy that becomes something a little bit more than a school comedy, and it's already had a complete 2 seasons, and I don't think it's been officially confirmed, but it's very likely there's going to be a third because
Oh God, yeah.
this is one of those shows that is it does go on, and it can potentially go on with no end in sight.
And on and on and on and on and
And so
on. I have
I guess you
nasty
could call
galaxy,
that,
yeah.
I guess you could call that a flaw, because it's not,
Oh,
there's
dude.
only so much you can do before the humor well runs dry.
You know, kind of why it works for a Japanese audience? Because they have to watch it once every week.
Right,
It's like a
exactly.
sitcom. If you watch, I don't know anybody who can sit through like any sitcom like just all day,
That's
or
true.
like 8 episodes.
You can't do that with Seinfeld even, which is Seinfeld's usually
Wow.
much better written than your average American sitcom, but even that then, it just doesn't work in large chunks. So yeah, school com I mean I whenever I watch School Rumble though, the important thing is that I always leave with a smile on my face, and that's what good comedy is for. And so out of 5, I'd probably give it a good solid, I'd give it a 3.5 for probably the first season and a
Damn.
half, and
Okay,
probably
okay,
two and
okay.
a half after the second half of the second season, where I think the quality drops off a bit.
Okay, good part. Good thing we have a little disagreement at the second part of what you just said. First part, yeah, I'm pretty loose when anything makes me laugh and I love it. So I'll give it a 3.7. I was gonna say 3.5 since you beat me to the punch. 3.7. As
Okay.
far as for the second part, I'm going to give it 3.6.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's crap. That's basically the same thing. But yeah, okay. So it's not as much better, but I laugh my ass off, and I like the part which at least they try to like make the plot go forward. I mean, for crying out loud, come on now. The Harry Mackenzie and Tsukamoto Tenma is going to develop something. For God's sake, for anime creators, for anime God's sake, whatever you believe in, like for your Klingon, well, I don't know, whatever you believe in. Yeah, but it has to move on, right? Right? Okay.
Eventually, things have to eventually come to an end unless they decide to cancel it beforehand. And I think that's
Oh
what
no.
happened to isn't that what happened to the original Gundam? It got canceled, and so they had
Gundam
to
got canceled. Gundam X got canceled. Two Gundam stuff got canceled. Original Gundam, which wasn't a surprise, and okay, Gundam X wasn't that great compared to Gundam Wing, so that got canceled too. Yeah. Had the original Gundam developed, I'm not so sure it will be such a classic. A lot of things are like that. For Americans, if you know Bubblegum Crisis, if they played it out, I get a feeling it'd be a cheesy blow-up as 80s ending where everybody's happy.
I think yeah. Sometimes, I think the. I mean, the classic. I think American example would be Star Trek. Star Trek got canceled after the third season, and it was because it got canceled, and then it went into syndication, that the entire kind of fan subculture, centering around Star Trek conventions, kind of grew up around it. And it
Yeah,
was
but
only then.
we beat these guys. We definitely beat these guys. Cause hey, our convention got girls. If you're a Trek fan, well, go out and get a girl into the Trek convention. Give it a shot.
Yep, anime conventions are definitely where it's at if you're looking for a good 50% of your participants actually being female and interested in the same things you are.
And for someone dressed in very interesting costumes. If you like anime, that is.
Oh,
Oh
yeah.
boy. Oh
Anyway.
dear. Yeah.
Anyway, and that pretty much does it for our review. A good solid 3.5 for most of School Rumble for me, and pretty much 3.6, 3.7, and 3.6 for Ray for School Rumble.
Before we end today, do you have some anime that you really like? Because I just feel like having a duel with you.
Okay, let's try something that... Let's try a prototypical show that I would like and maybe you would.
Please do.
Let me think. I'm actually in the process of downloading a show called... It's got a long Japanese name. And I'm probably going to butcher it. Hanban no Tsuki ga Noboru Sora. It's about a boy who has hepatitis and he goes to the hospital and he meets a girl with terminal heart disease. It's a 6-episode OVA, and you can pretty much guess the plot just by like...
Oh, romantic comedy.
No, it's not romantic comedy. It's one of those...
It's not?
It's one of those weepy soap opera type things where...
Oh, God.
It's one of those... I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not done downloading yet, but... This sounds like good red meat for good red meat
for a huge dissecting and dueling.
Because I like drama, at least when it's done well. I like it.
I hate it when it's one of those sort of things where it's weepy and it's like, oh, she has a disease, oh, he's gonna die, and you know, like we all go through that in real life, and in real life we all get weepy too. But if I'm watching the freaking show, please put some comedy in there.
Like or another one, actually, maybe, that I've already seen, is Kimi ga Nozomu Ain, which, that really soap opera.
I unfortunately made a mistake of recommending to you without me watching it, because after I see it on Taiwanese TV, about 5 minutes, I was like, okay, all right, tell the sick girl, I'm sorry, I don't like you. If you die, don't blame me. And go like the girl you actually like. Oh, wait, actually, turn that over. Go tell a girl you're like, look, I just can't be with you anymore, I'm sorry. Take the heartache and take care of the sick girl. Oh wait, I just ended the debate. Stupid. Alright.
Well, basically I saw it, I really liked it. I thought it was actually... But the thing is that after watching a show like Honey and Clover, it's really hard for me to go back to like really over-the-top melodramatic type stuff anymore because like
it's, you know, I will like Saikano.
Like Saikano is
yes.
No, there are some really good moments in Saikano.
You know why I will like Saikano? Because it accurately depicts the world. It tells you the way the world is supposed to be. It tells you Zig Yi Zion. It tells you Zion Wan Shui, Zion Banzai. Oh wait, it doesn't talk about Zion, does it?
Saikano? I think it's more
about... It has nothing
about,
to do with Zeon.
I think it's more about Americans obliterating Japan and everybody dying...
Using
really
a Japanese girl.
And people having really long, drawn-out death speeches and lots and lots and lots of crying. That's really
Saikano. Oh, I am so going to die. My heart is stopping. Oh my god, I've broken my leg. Yeah. I'm thinking awesome
like the
powers.
Main girl, the girl who's the ultimate weapon in Saikano, she just can't stop crying. She's like crying like in 75% of the entire show.
I'm surprised while her weapon isn't the river of tears.
No kidding.
To drown the whole Japan out, it's a freaking huge island, isn't it? Well, it's a bunch of freaking islands, isn't it?
It is.
Oh yes it is, since I've been there.
It certainly
is. Oh yeah,
is.
It's gone. Honshu is the main island. It's huge. Kyushu is another island. It's smaller. And Hokkaido is another island. It's about the same.
Yeah, this guy taught in Japan for about a year, teaching English, so he knows what he's talking about.
Yes, and I'm grossly generalizing everything because I feel like it. And then again, Japanese grossly labeling everyone because they feel like it.
I'm always really amused, especially when the Japanese stereotype Americans. I find it hilarious, especially when they try to speak English. That's really...
Oh, God, yeah.
There was that whole episode of Black Lagoon where Revy speaks English half the time. That was great.
Oh, I love my ass
I
off.
know. That was so
She was
awesome.
terrible at it. She was freaking terrible at it. If you think she's bitchy, her I mean not no 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 no. If
no.
you if you think her speeches were worse or like more terrible than her guns.
See, no, that's the problem. The problem is that for me she stopped being menacing. When like she's
the moment she speaks
the
English.
Moment she tries speaking English. Even though she's like swearing and everything like that. It sounds
fucking
comical. It doesn't sound it doesn't sound like menacing at all. Even though
Okay kids. Take a good look at what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I was like please do. I mean please shoot me with that double guns you have, and I don't mean on her chest.
Vulgar. Anyway, I guess this pretty much wraps up this week, I guess, unless you have anything else you wanted to add. We've already gone over 50 minutes.
No, that's because we just dragged it on very long. So
yeah.
I think before I bore someone to death or make someone hang himself, that's the end.
Well, and I guess one like final announcement. We won't be doing this next week because I'm going to be on a plane returning to Los Angeles to go back to school. So the next
being
time
adopted
we hear
by aliens,
us,
going to space, and sees Excel dancing across the plane. And gets run over by a truck.
And then
oh
gets
my
resurrected
God, they kill
by
itself.
The universe or whatever dancing little galaxy nebula.
The great whale the supremely great whale of the universe.
Yes. I just love how metaphysical that show is. Anyway, so there won't be another episode next week, and therefore, next time you hear from us it will be the year 2007. So
woo-hoo. New time for new flames.
Yep, and, well, so this is Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hugh.
Merry Christmas, because it is December 25th, and a Happy New Year. Goodbye.
That's right, and a Happy fucking New Year. Bye-bye.